Anybody in this house know that God been good to you? I say anybody know God been good to you? And if the truth be told, God is good to us right now. Anybody know he good to you right now? He woke you up this morning. He clothed you in your right mind. He gave you your health and your strength. You ought to tell him thank you today. Anybody in this house want to help me tell him thank you? I say anybody want to help me tell him thank you? Somebody ought to tell us thank you today. Jesus said, these hold a peace. The rocks will cry out. Excuse my coming for luckless, but ain't no rocks gonna cry out for me. Because God been too good to me. Has he been good to anybody out there? I said, has he been good to anybody? Somebody know he's been good to you. You know, some stuff you go through, you just got to praise your way out of it. I said, some stuff you go through, you just got to praise your way out of it. And the Bible says, praise is coming among the saints. And when you know what God has done for you, nobody got to pump you or prime you up. Yeah, when you woke up this morning, you ought to woke up telling them thank you. The fact that he allowed you to come into his house, you ought to be happy about that. I don't know, but I'm glad to be here today. And I'm glad to be alive. Can I think about anything better than being glad to be alive? I'm glad to be alive and know that I'm alive. Somebody woke up this morning, don't even know they're in the world. Thank God for God. Thank God for this beautiful house of people, the New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church. You are great people. I thank you for your kindness that you have shown me and my wife and my family. I enjoyed Sunday school this morning. I enjoy being here with you all on this morning to celebrate the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Since I am a visitor, I think it's in order for me to recognize some people that I'm very familiar with. First of all, I want to thank God for my wife being here with us. My lovely wife, Sister McDowell. Will you stand up, baby, so they can see you? Thank God for Sister McDowell. My number one supporter, my number one fan. She makes me look good. But Sister Logan, I make her look better. And I thank God for my wife. Dr. E.J. James, the late Dr. E.J. James, pastor of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa. Some of you are familiar with Dr. James when I was state workers. He said one time he was in Los Angeles, California, preaching. And his wife wanted to go with him, and she'd never been in Los Angeles. So he took her with her, and He did revival that night, and guy came back and said, "Pastor, I done found my wife. I done found my wife. She's the most beautiful woman in all the world." And so that next evening, this pastor wanted to meet this woman. And what he did was introduce Pastor Jane's wife unto him. Dr. James told her, he said, "Always introduce your wife, because somebody might be looking. She's taken." Just thank God for her. Glad to have two of my four children with us. Glad to have my favorite daughter with us. My favorite daughter. She's my favorite daughter because she's my only daughter. And I'm delighted to have us with her. She's a graduate from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. My wife and I sent up here to school, and she never came back home. And she moved up here. She's an event planner. She's a photographer. She do all of that. I know she called me every night. And when she called, I know she want money. And I give it to her. That's my baby. But I thank God. Stand up, Marika, so they can see you, baby. I'm glad to have the youngest of my four children with us. Jacob, now he keeps me young. He keep me running all over the place. He got to exercise. He got to box. He got to fight. He got to wrestle. And I have to do it all with him. Stand up so they can see you, Jacob. And I'm so proud to say, now me and my wife told him, he's in the third grade. He make all A's on his report card. We give him $10 for every A, $5 for every B. He brought his progress report home about 3 weeks ago. He had one B on there. He got a report card Friday, Sister Evans, and he had all A's. And now I owe him $80. And I'm going to pay it to him, too. My sister-in-law, Tori, she stays up in Birmingham. Like Marika, she came to UAB, and she didn't come back home. It's something about being up here in Birmingham. But we just thank God. Set up, Tori, so they can see you, baby. And I'm delighted to have with me my future son-in-law, good man, great guy. He's also a graduate from the University of Alabama, Birmingham. Stand up, Booker, so they can see you. Thank God for family. Family is important. And we thank God for, and I do thank God for Sister Logan. She works well at our state convention, woman on our women's finance. Thank God for her sweet soul. Been knowing her for years, and I just thank God for her. Thank God for Sister Shirley Evans, vice president of the Jefferson County Women's Auxiliary. Glad to see her. She works well in the state and national work. She's on the national housing, and she works in our state very well. Thank God for her. I've been knowing her for a long time now. She remember me walking through the conventions and everything, and she's always been kind to me. And I just thank God for Sister Evans. Thank God for other leaders that are here. Amen. Yes, that's in order. Give honor to whom honor is due. That's in order. Thank God for I thank God for the pulpit committee, screening my resume and application, allowing me to come, and I'm delighted to be here. Chairman, Brother Irving Larry, thank God for him, Deacon McLean and others, deacons, trustees, officers, members of this great church. Thank God for you for allowing me to be here on this morning to share with you, to stand where one of the greatest pastors, preachers in all the world. I said one of the greatest pastors, preachers in all the world. Over 40 years leading this great congregation in New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church. Man whom I love dearly and I respect highly. But I was looking for him to be here today, but he called and told me our preacher had to preach. And he had to go out to the New Jerusalem Baptist Church and preach. But I just thank God for Dr. He's not here, but his spirit is here. His love is here. His teaching and his preaching is here. Let us just praise God for that. Praise God for Dr. William H. Walker. Praise God for him. And I told him I'd give him a call later today and talk to him. And that's my friend, my brother. I love him to him and Sister Walker both. Praise God for Sister Walker. Sweet soul. Thank God for her. I saw one of our finance committee and our women's auxiliary, Sister Van Terry. She's here. I saw Sister stand up, Sister Terry, so they can see. Thank God for Sister Van Terry. Thank God for her. she's been in women's finance. She worked with them, and now she's working with our state convention on our state finance. I talked with her a couple of weeks ago, and she said, "You my boss now." And I said, "Yes, ma'am. You just have to do what I tell you to do." And she's going to do it. She's a sweet soul. For a few moments, not going to hold you too much longer. Thank God for Reverend Foster. Warm, kind words of introduction. Thank God for him. All of the preachers, all of the socialists that's here, thank God for this social. Let's praise God for them. Thank God for the social. This choir, they're doing a marvelous job. Thank God for the choir. These men look good. Thank God for these men. Thank God for you all. For a few moments, very familiar passage. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Beginning with verse 45 and ending with verse 47. 1 Samuel, the 45th chapter, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 45 and ending with verse 47. I will be reading from the King James Version. 1 Samuel, 17th chapter, beginning with verse 45 and ending with verse 47. This is a technological society, and I love that technology, and I am trying to get better with it. Those that have your iPhone, your Kindle, your notebook, I'm okay with that. 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. Beginning with verse 45 and ending with verse 47. It reads on this wise from 1 Samuel 17, chapter verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Let us read verse 47 together. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands." I want to talk from this subject entitled, "The Lord Will Deliver." The Lord will deliver. As we go through this life, we have ups and we have downs. As we go through this life, we have struggles and we have strains and we have situations to deal with. And it seems at times as we go through life, it seems like we're all alone. It seems like nobody is there. Seems like every time we take one foot forward, so like something else is knocking us two or three steps back. It seems like every time we overcome one situation, there's another situation to come up. But I want to let you know that whatever you're going through and whatever you're dealing with right now, that the Lord will deliver. Sometimes it seems like we're all alone. We go to this friend, they don't have time. Go to that family member, they don't have time. Try to talk to this associate, this co-worker, they don't have time. And yes, we even come to the church sometime, and it seems like we don't have time. But I want to let somebody know in this house today that you are not alone, that God will deliver. In this world, we shall have tribulations. Jesus said in John the 16th chapter, verse 33, "In this world, you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And I want to let somebody know today, whatever you're going through, you're not alone. That God promised to deliver you. Whatever crisis, whatever situation you're in, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your marriage, with your child, your grandchild, your job, God will deliver. But what I like about God, God don't operate on our time. You know, we're living in an instant world right now. Everything is instant. Everything is quick. When I was coming up as a boy, my mama made biscuits. And she made them from scratch. But now they already come made. You just put them in the microwave or oven. Yeah, they not that good anymore. Yeah. When I was coming up, yeah, that they fried that bacon. Yeah. But now it already come pre-cooked. That's not good anymore. Yeah. When I was coming up, another way when I tell you, you had to wait on things. But I said today, we living in an impatient world right now. But if you're going to serve God and you're going to get to where God wants you to be at, you got to learn how to wait on him. Somebody in this house know he may not come when you want him. But somebody in the house know that God will be right on time. Somebody know that he may not show up when you think he ought to show up. But somebody know when God shows up, he knew how to show out. And not only God know how to show up and show out, but God know how to bring you out. And as we look here in our text today, we see the children of Israel as they was in battle with the Philistines. This enemy that they've been battling for years now, here they come now and they find themselves again fighting with the Philistine. And as we look here in our text in this 17th chapter, we have three main characters here that we're going to look at. You see Saul, who was king of Israel. But when you look at Saul, Saul was not anointed by God to lead Israel. If you recall, the children of Israel wanted to be like other nations. God was their God. God was their king. He was leading and guiding them. But it came to the point where they decided that they want to be like other nations. Can I say to you, just be who God has for you to be? Yeah, you don't need to try to be like nobody else. Just be who God called you to be. I said today, you ought to be the best you God called you to be. Yeah, oftentimes people try to imitate somebody and they're really messing up. I've seen them trying to imitate other folk, and the person they're trying to imitate not there. And then they not there, and the Holy Ghost not there. You know who there? Nobody there. But just be who God called you to be. Yeah, so when you look here, you see that they wanted another nation. They wanted a king. And so what God did was he gave them Saul. He allowed them to have this king that misused them. He allowed them to have this king that taxed them and made it hard for them. God will allow us to have some stuff sometime and when we don't line up with his will. Somebody in the house know what I'm talking about. And sometimes God has to give us stuff so the Lord, so we can realize that we need to get back to God and get our life right with him. We can testify about that today. Yeah, this country didn't want who we should have had. Yeah, and this country put somebody in the White House right now. Yeah, and I said that God allowed that to happen so we can realize that we need to get back to God. Yeah, I said that you see more people praying now than they ever prayed before. Yeah, you see more folk fasting now and reading the Bible than they ever did before. God know how to get you back to him. Yeah, he allowed Saul to become king of Israel. But not only that, but you had Goliath. Yeah, Goliath was assigned by God to fight against Israel. He was assigned by God to come up against Israel. And every now and then, God allow your enemy to get in the way. Every now and then, God will give you an enemy so you can realize that God is bigger than your enemy. You can overcome your enemy. Sometimes people wonder why they're in this storm. Sometimes they wonder why the flood is trying to overtake them. You know why God allowed you to go through the storm and go through the flood? Because your enemy can't swim. But God know that you can swim. And when you keep your head in God's hand, God will take care of you. He gave them Goliath. But then God gave them David. David was anointed by God. Don't you know when you are anointed by God, the devil that's on his way to hell can't stop you? Don't you know when you are anointed by God that everything God got for you, you're going to get it? Don't you know when you are anointed by God, God will hear and answer your prayer? Don't you know when you are anointed by God, you don't have to try to climb the mountain. All you got to do is speak to the mountain when you are anointed by God. Yeah, I often say, yeah, you can preach, but you can preach better when you got the anointing. Yeah, the choir can sing. But the choir can sing better when they're singing under anointing. The usher can usher, but they can do it better when they're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can pray, but you can pray better when you're praying under the anointing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And as we look here in our text today, we see you had an enemy. They had a persuasive enemy. And we have a persuasive enemy today. The same enemy that persuade Adam and Eve to eat of that forbidden fruit is the same enemy that we're dealing with today. Don't you know Satan don't have no new tricks? Yeah. He's just using the same old motive that he used in the Garden of Eden right now. He'll have your mind running all over town. Yeah, and where your mind at, that's where your body going to end up. That's why I said you ought to keep your mind on Jesus. Somebody in the house know he'll keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And when you look here in this text today, look at this enemy right here. In verse number 4, the Bible says in the 17th chapter, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistine named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a helmet of brass on his head, upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And his weight weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And the Bible says he had graves of brass upon his leg. And a target of brass between his shoulders. And a staff of his spear like a weaver's beam. Now, if he had all of that with a giant, why he need all that stuff? Yeah. But I said today, that's how the devil operate. He come camouflage, trying to use stuff to try to get you to see things his way. This Goliath was standing strong. And the Bible said when he stood up, the Bible says in verse 8, he cried to the armies of Israel. And he said unto them, he said, why you come out to set the battle in array? He said, I'm a Philistine and you servants of Saul. He said, choose you one man to come out and fight against me. And if he win, we will be your servant. But if I win, you all will be our servant. Yeah. Look at this enemy right here. Yeah. He's persuasive. Look at this enemy right here. He's trying to defy the armies of the living God. Can I say today, the devil is our enemy. And the Bible says he come nothing to do but steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. And can I say today, the devil don't come in with a red suit on and a pitchfork and horns on his head. That's too easy right there. If somebody walked in this house like this, you would know it's the devil. You know how the devil come? He come looking like you and I. He come with smooth talking and smooth skin, dressed up like you and I. But Jesus said that there are wolves in sheep clothes. You got to watch the devil, I tell you. And Jesus said, haven't I chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil. I said today, you got to watch the devil. The devil going to try to stay close to you and play with your mind. Judas stayed close to Jesus. And I said today, you got to watch these folks that are giving you all these old wet kisses, talking about how much they love you. Don't you know Judas got betrayed Jesus with a kiss? I watch folks that come kissing. You got to watch these folks because the devil come in disguise. We have a public enemy among us. And you got to watch your enemy. Yeah, that person on the job that's always leaning up on you, trying to get your business, that's your enemy. Yeah, that person that's always trying to call you and talk about it, that's your enemy. But I said that you got to know your enemy. But don't let your enemy know that you know that he or she is your enemy. The Bible says if your enemy hungry, you got to feed him. If they naked, you got to clothe them. If they thirsty, you got to give them water. And when you do this, you heat coals of fire upon their head. I know who my enemy is, but I'm not going to let my enemy know that I know that he or she is my enemy. Can I tell you how you deal with your enemy? You don't fight fire with fire. Yeah, you don't put gasoline on a fire. You know how you deal with it? You got to pray for your enemy. Somebody in the house, that when you go down on your knees and pray for them, won't God change their heart? When you go down on your knees and pray for them, won't God move your enemies out of the way? And sometimes, Sister Evan, God don't have to move your enemies out of the way. Yeah, you know what God will do for you? He'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Yeah, you folk that lying on you, trying to destroy you, they wondering how you make it right now. Yeah, how you making it right now? I done took a loaf of bread out your front door, but you forgot that God backed up a truckload to my back door. I done took $100 out of your front door. You forgot that God done put $500 in my... Somebody know that God will. Won't he take care of your enemy? Yeah, David, this enemy Goliath came up. But look what David did. David had came down, and David began to hear what Goliath say. He heard Goliath defy the armies of Israel. David asked them, he said, what is this noise that I'm hearing right now? What is this I'm hearing about this Philistine talking about? He going to destroy the armies of Israel. What is this noise that I'm hearing right now? Can I tell you that the devil talk loud, but he really not saying nothing? When I was coming up, I heard him say, some folks, they bark bigger than they bite. That's how the enemy is. He was just talking. And so when David heard this enemy talk, when he heard what Goliath had to say, David said that he will go and fight against Goliath. And can I tell you that? You don't have no business running from the devil. Yeah, I heard folks say that the devil got me on the run. The devil don't have me on the run. The Bible never told us to run from our enemy. The Bible said you got to rebuke the devil. If you rebuke the devil, guess what? He'll get away from you. Well, when you look here, David had told Saul that I will go up and fight against him. And so when David rehearsed these things in the hills of Saul, David realized that he had some past experience. And can I tell you today, you ought to look back over your life and see how far God has already brought you. You ought to look back over your life and see what God has already done for you. Every now and then, yeah, I look back and I see how good God has been to me. Every now and then, I look back and I see how far God has brought me. And can I say today, it's a long way where I'm at now than where I came from. Somebody asked me one day who did it, and I had to tell them, God did it. Anybody know God did it for you? Well, look what happened in verse 31. And the Bible said, and we heard, when the words were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent him for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go out against him. He said, for thou art a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. What Saul said to David, you can't fight this man. This man is a giant, and he has a reputation, yeah, of killing folk. But what David said, you don't know the God I serve. He said, you don't know who I am. David said to Saul in verse 34, David said, thy servant kept thy father's sheep. Yeah, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out before him and smote him and delivered it out of the mouth of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote and slew him. He said, it's your servant killed a lion in the back. And the Philistines shall be as one of them. And what David was saying is, I got some past experience. When I look back and I see the enemies that God had defeated for me. When I look back and I see the folks God delivered me from, I know that God will deliver me from this Philistine. Can I say today, this is not the first time you've been sick. This is not the first time somebody turned their back on you. But you ought to realize that you got some past experience. The same God that brought you through last week. Don't you know he's the same God that's going to take care of you this week? Folks worried about what's going to happen next year. But the same God that took care of me last year is the same God that's going to take care of me this year. When I look at where we at right now, we 73 days away from a new year, and I look back and I see how God took care of me in January. Don't you know he gonna take care of me this year? When I look back and see what he did for me in February, March, April, May, June, and July, August, and September, October, and here we are in November. The same God that blessed you then, don't you know he gonna bless you right now? If he fed you last week, don't you know he can feed you this week? If he paid your bills last week, don't you know he can do it this week? Anybody know that you got some past experience with the Lord? But look what David did when he got ready to go. Saul got to get him in his equipment. Saul armed him with his armor. Saul put on his breast. He put on his shield. But what David said, I cannot go out and fight with this equipment because I'm not used to this equipment. So what David did was he took that equipment off, and David got his slingshot. David got his bag, and the Bible said he got five stones out of the valley. And I looked at that thing. I said, well, Lord, why did David get five stones? I can understand if he had got three. One for the Father, one for the Spirit, one for the Holy, for the Son. I can understand if he had got 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel, for the 12 gates that's in the city. Three in the east,
Three in the north, three in the south, three in the west. I could understand if he had got seven, denotes the number of completion, that the Lord completed the earth on the seventh day. I said, Lord, why did he get five? I said, well, maybe because of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts is known as sometimes the fifth gospel. The Lord said, no, that's why he didn't get five. I said, well, he got five, yeah, because of the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the canon. The Lord said, you're getting warmer now. I said, well, Lord, why didn't he get five? He said, what are the first five books of the Bible? I said, that's the canon, Lord. He said, but what is the canon? I said, that's the word. He said, you're getting close now. He said, what is the word? I said, the word is Jesus. He got five stones, one for G, one for E, one for S, one for U, and the one for S. He got five stones for Jesus. And what I'm trying to get somebody to say, all you need is Jesus. Anybody out there got Jesus? Well, when you look at the five stones he got, when David got ready to go out against Goliath, the Bible said he took one stone. I said, Lord, why he had to get one? Because you only have one Jesus. Anybody out there knowing? The Bible says he took that sling and he slung it and the stone went in his forehead and Goliath died. I want to tell somebody that the Lord been good to us. I want to tell somebody that the Lord been making a way for us. David told Goliath, you come to me with a spear. You come to me with a sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. Anybody out there know his name? I say, anybody know his name? Some call him Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. Some call him Jehovah Tiskanu. He is the God of my healer. Some call him Jehovah Rapha. He healeth all of my diseases. Some call him Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of my peace. But can I tell you what I call it? When my way get dark and my friends get few, I just call him Jesus. Anybody out there ever call him Jesus? Anybody ever call him Jesus? What's his name? I said, what's his name? I said, what's his name? Somebody ought to call him today. Anybody gonna help me call him? Jesus, my all in all. Jesus, my bridge over troubled water. Jesus, my friend when I'm feeling. Jesus, my maywaker. Jesus, somebody out of there to call him name. Can I tell you what he did? One Thursday night, he had five different trials and four different courtrooms. He didn't get just in either one. And early Friday morning, he took an old rugged crown. He put it on his shoulder. He went marching up the hill called Calvary. Somebody said, where you going, Jesus? I'm going to die for the sins of the world. Anybody know he died? They nailed his hand. They nailed his feet. Yeah, they put a crown of thorns around his head. But they forgot about one thing. They forgot about his word. He said, if I be lifted up, I draw men unto me. Anybody here know he died? Anybody know he died? They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, all day Saturday, all night Saturday night, but prayed early Sunday morning. Anybody know he got up? I say, anybody know he got up? And because he lived, I know everything gonna be all right. But before he died, he made his will. He willed his mother to John. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He willed his spirit to the father. Father, to thy hand, I commend my spirit. He took care of his mama. He took care of his daddy. But he willed his joy to you and I. And can I testify today, after all that I've been through, I say, after all that I've been through, I still got joy. Anybody out there got joy? Joy! Joy! Joy, joy, joy! Anybody got joy? Anybody got joy? The reason I got joy, because I got Jesus. Anybody know him today? Anybody know him? What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? Jesus! 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 Anybody know him today? Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! It's a long ways where I'm at now. Somebody know he did it. Anybody know he did it for you. Anybody gonna help me praise him. Anybody gonna help me tell him thank you. 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 You've been good to me, Lord. You think I'm not going to praise him for how good he's been to me. You don't know, like I know, what the Lord has done for me. Has he done anything for anybody out there? I said, has he done anything for you? Well, you ought to tell him, thank you. Thank you.
If you don't know that Jesus, the doors of the church are open. If you need somebody that'll stick closer than a brother, I recommend to you Jesus. The doors of the church are open. If you want to get to know Jesus, all you got to do is get up, come up. We'll come down and we'll stand with you. Jesus loves you. Jesus can save you. Glory, hallelujah. The word of God has been preached. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Church.